I feel like we didn't execute the best way we could, you know, especially personally. And I feel like we all could have played better, especially myself. So moving forward, I'm looking forward to the task at hand. As far as like the field conditions, it's not really a worry of mine. Our coach tells us to check our cleats before the game, and you better be ready to go.
Getting ready for a very, very good Philadelphia football team. Going on the road, it'll be a tough environment. So we'll have our work cut out for us. We'll have to play great in all three areas to win this football game.
I don't think in terms like that. I mean, are we proud of what we accomplished? You know, heck yeah. Do we have more out in front of us? Heck yeah. So, you know, just like Coach said, what matters today is how we work, how we prepare today, getting ready to beat the Eagles.
Number one, they've got an excellent offensive line. They do a great job in their running game, the schemes. The running backs are very hard to tackle. They have a lot of run-pass options, and they've got excellent receivers. I think Foles has done a good job of understanding where to go with the football and the things that they're trying to do with him.
The biggest thing with Nick Foles is you gotta get around him, you gotta affect him, you gotta make him be a little hesitant in the pocket. You know, with no pressure, he has a very good passer rating with being affected and getting hits. You know, it comes down a lot, so we gotta affect him in different ways. But that's what we gotta stop the run first and foremost to be able to get to him.
A little bit. I mean, you know, we always whoever we're playing that week, but you know, it's a combination of their offense, their defense, their special teams, and ours. And, you know, how can we exploit some of their weaknesses and how can we take it, you know, use our strengths? So, but they, you know, they're really good defensively. It's going to be a full day affair.
You know, Coach Zim was talking to us this morning and, you know, talked about his first year in Dallas. They go to the NFC Championship game in 94 and then go back in 95, and he hasn't been back since 95. I think I was just out of diapers in 95. So, you know, that really teaches us, and, you know, we can portray that message, especially to the young guys. And we have such a young team that this doesn't happen all the time. And, you know, we have a great opportunity, and, you know, we should make the most of it.
I feel like I have a pretty smart, level-headed football team. They understand the magnitude of the things, and, you know, they know what's at stake. So let's just go out and let's continue to do what we've been doing all year long. Let's play good. Let's play together as a team. Take care of the football. You know, all the things that you talk about all year long, really.
First of all, Nick's a great guy. One of my best friends. Really, really solid, solid guy. Great faith, great family. He's got great family. My wife and his wife are great friends. His entire family is good people. Great football player. Prepares well. Extremely talented, big arm. He's really, really athletic too. So, I know he's got a lot of confidence, and I'm looking forward to playing against him.
There you heard it. Some more sound bites leading up to the big NFC Championship game this weekend between the Vikings and the Eagles, and we got more coverage today. Breaking the game down, we will be joined by Austin Belisle of Vikings Territory at 3:15. He'll give his take on the Minneapolis Miracle, and we'll look at the big game. Plus, an Eagles perspective coming up today, as we will be joined by Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, what they bring to this matchup this weekend. So a lot to come here today. Plenty to get to on the scoop, and why don't we get right to it? We'll start off by taking a look at our top sports headlines here for today. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, the New England Patriots dealing with some potential issues to their quarterback, as sounds like Tom Brady dealing with a hand injury heading into the AFC Championship game, trying to kind of keep the status hush-hush, so we'll see if that has any sort of an impact on the game on Saturday. James Harden back in uniform tonight as the Minnesota Timberwolves are on the road taking on the Houston Rockets. Timberwolves trying to get their 30th win of the season against just 17 losses, but it's going to take a very, very tough matchup for the Wolves here tonight. A late game as well, 8:30 start for the Timberwolves. Minnesota Vikings continue to pour it in for Saints punter Thomas Morstead. As of last check, Vikings fans have raised over $150,000 for Morstead's charity, and he will indeed fly to Minneapolis and present a check to the Children's Hospital after receiving an outpouring of support for his gutty performance in the divisional round. Some accolades being handed down to the Minnesota Vikings as the Football Writers Association naming Pat Shurmur the top assistant coach in the NFL, and certainly a great honor for Shurmur, rewarding him for the great job that he has done this season. And the University of Minnesota men's basketball team, the Gophers, they are on the road taking on Maryland tonight, trying to get back on track, 14-6 on the season. That is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. We're going to talk a little Vikings football with Austin Belisle of Vikings Territory. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
To dream the impossible dream.
And we are joined on The Scoop here today by Austin Belisle of Vikings Territory. Austin, thanks for joining the show here today.
Seth, thanks for having me.
I love the song choice, because we're kind of feeling as Vikings fans like this run up to the Super Bowl is the impossible dream.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of why I chose it. I like the oldies, but I like the message of the song too.
Well, let's go back a little bit. I have with every Vikings guest I've had on the show this week, I've been just asking people kind of where they were at for the Minneapolis Miracle and how they reacted to it. So give me kind of what you were going through and how you reacted to that unforgettable play against the Saints.
Sure. So I was home. I was watching it with my uncles from Minnesota. We're out here in California, so... he's kind of my Minnesota connection, and I had him over, and I was with my family sitting on the couch after that Lutz field goal. I was kind of resigned to the fact that this might be it. No way Case Keenum's going to, you know, drive the team down and get into field goal range. And sitting on the couch, edge of my seat, like I'm on the edge of my seat most of the game anyway, so that wasn't any different. But he threw that pass, and Diggs went up and caught it and came down in bounds, and you know, the rest is kind of history. I was up screaming. My sister was up screaming. My uncle was up screaming, running around the house, high-fiving. I really couldn't believe it. And one of the cool things was as soon as the play ended, I got about, I don't know, 15 text messages from, you know, people I've talked to all the time, people I haven't talked to in years, because really I'm the only Vikings fan people know around here.
Yeah, it's just amazing how no matter where people were at, it was pretty much the same reaction to what was arguably the biggest win in Vikings postseason history, and now they'll try to leapfrog that here this weekend with a matchup against a very tough Eagles team. So give us just a sense, Austin, of what the Vikings do to try to kind of come back down to earth and gear up for this game on Sunday.
Oh man, I'm kind of going to go to the Tony Sperano playbook here, but when he was the coach, I think he was the coach of the Raiders, and he buried a football out on the practice field after I can't remember what it was, a lost season or a memorable season or something, kind of burying the memories of you know, the bad times behind. And, you know, I can kind of see Zimmer doing that. Nothing cheesy like that. But I think you appreciate that play for what it is. But you understand if you want to recapture that feeling, you've got to go down to Philadelphia, win a game, and then you've basically got a home game for the Super Bowl. So, you know, knowing Zimmer after 3 years of being the head coach and kind of where he's taken this team, I can't imagine that they're still riding the high of that. It's all Eagles all the time right now.
the Eagles in a similar spot to the Vikings in that they lost their starting quarterback. They're going with Nick Foles. We will counter, as we have since week two, with Case Keenum. And I find it interesting that there are so many parallels between where the Eagles are at compared to where the Vikings were at before the season last year. They trade for Sam Bradford from the Eagles. And it really just goes to show you that you can't be too prepared for any sort of injury to happen to your team. And it seems like, despite a little bit of a dip in numbers, the Eagles certainly have a capable backup in Nick Foles.
Yeah, I mean, they must really like Nick Foles, because he was with the Eagles, went to the Chiefs, I want to say, was going to retire, and came back to the Eagles. So there's some familiarity there. You know, I think he's comfortable there. But to your point, it's one of those situations where, yeah, even when you think you're prepared enough, I don't think you're prepared enough. You can't ever be comfortable. And I think right now the Vikings are in a better spot. It's kind of crazy to say Case Keenum is a better quarterback than Nick Foles, but I feel like the Vikings are more comfortable with Keenum than the Eagles are with Foles, and even more so comfortable with that backup situation with Bradford and Bridgewater being healthy.
Looking at having to go to Philadelphia, one of the things that I find interesting about what the Vikings will have to go up against in terms of a crowd is that you got all these Philly fans who have bought these dog masks, and they're trying to embrace this underdog mentality with being underdogs at home against the Vikings. Is that something that you see the Vikings kind of being intimidated by, or are they in a similar situation where people didn't really expect them to be in this spot either?
It's funny that a home team in the NFC Championship game is an underdog. I think personally, and I'm trying to put the Vikings bias aside, I think personally it's a bit of a gimmick. It's and I think it hurts kind of what you have as home field advantage. If you've got, you know, tens of thousands of people wearing dog masks, how into the game can you be with you know, slits for eyes and something covering your mouth? So it's funny to me. It kind of reminds me of when the Texans went to New England and were wearing those Letterman jackets into the stadium, and then they got rolled. Same kind of thing. I think you want to avoid gimmicks.
Yeah, I agree fully. Just make it about the football, not about the fanfare. I think that's a good way to put it. Austin, let's break down the matchup a little bit. What is the biggest concern for the Vikings heading into this matchup with the Eagles?
I think it's got to be the offensive line. I mean, the Eagles were the NFL's most productive pass rushing unit, and we know Jim Schwartz likes to blitz, so I think there's some issues that the Vikings have to patch up with Rashad Hill and Mike Remmer switching positions, or Mike Remmer switching to left guard and Hill taking over at right tackle. You know, there were some communication breakdowns. I think protecting Keenum and giving him enough time is probably the biggest thing to watch out for.
And just looking at from a defensive standpoint, what are some of the things that the Vikings need to do in order to come away with a win despite some really good weapons that the Eagles have on offense?
I think this is going to be a game kind of dictated by matchups. I think stopping the run is important, as it always is, and the Vikings have shown an ability to do that. But I also think, you know, keeping responsibility when it comes to these RPOs, these run-pass options, and not getting fooled by fakes and by motion in the backfield. And, you know, I would expect Zimmer to go out there with man-to-man coverage and play matchups and say, I've got, you know, matchups across the board that I like against your playmakers, and see what happens. It's going to be a very straight-up game, I think.
Looking at something that Vikings fans, I suppose, hope it doesn't come down to is the field goal kicker, a field goal kick. But the Vikings should feel pretty confident with Kai Forbath, considering the game that he had against the Saints. He did have the one missed kick right before the half, but it's not like it was a shank or anything like that. It was straight on, just missed left. So, Austin, what is your confidence level with Kai Forbath if it comes down to a field goal late in the game for the Vikings?
I mean, he was put in that position last week. I think he drilled that 53-yarder to put the Vikings up. And that was kind of the test for me. Could he make a kick like that under pressure from distance? And it went straight through the upright. So, I'm not really concerned about that. If anything, the only thing that concerns me isn't our kicker, but the field that he's going to be kicking on. How's that field in Philly going to be, and who's going to handle that better? So I have faith in Kai Forbath.
Do you feel like it's a situation with the Vikings? You mentioned the field turf, and that is a good point. They're thinking that it's going to be a little bit of an issue. It was with the Falcons against the Eagles. But do you think with the fact that the Vikings have played on such fields as Soldier Field and also Lambeau, that that field condition will not be as much of an issue for them as it will be for the Eagles?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how hyped up field conditions are and how much it really matters. I mean, these guys are so used to playing on different types of turf and different fields. And the Vikings, I know that they had issues at Lambeau, but, you know, they're a solid tackling team. You know, they're a well-coached, disciplined team. I don't think that that's going to be an issue because we hardly see Vikings get out of position and be in a spot where they have to change direction quickly because they've, you know, put themselves in a bad position or put themselves in a place where they have to recover quickly. So I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue. I mean, I might say it would be an issue for another team, but I have faith that this Vikings team is ready for this kind of environment.
I want to make sure to give all of you guys at Vikings Territory a big shout out. I love the coverage that you guys do throughout the season, but want to give you a chance to maybe spotlight some of the things that fans can look for at Vikings Territory leading up to the game.
Sure, yeah. So we've got a couple items I think that people would like. One of our writers, Drew, he does this thing called Skull Scale every week where he asks fans to kind of gauge their confidence in the team, and he just published that yesterday. You know, he says, well, 1 out of 10, what's your confidence? And it's been hovering around 6.57, but I'm sure that number's gone up. And then you know, Sean, one of our other writers, does a breakdown every Saturday with you know, the matchup by the numbers, how are each team ranked, what are the matchups to watch, what's he looking for. And then after the game, we always do a roundtable, which is like a live video podcast where we talk about the game in real time and take viewer questions. So that's a lot of fun.
Outstanding. Austin, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who do you think is going to be the player for the Vikings, the X factor, the one that leads them to the victory on Sunday?
The one that leads them to the victory on Sunday. Oh, man. You know, I'd like to say it's going to be Harrison Smith, but I really think that Eric Kendricks is going to play a big role. I'm going to go for 2-for-1, Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr. I think the onus falls on the linebackers to, you know, maintain gap discipline, maintain discipline and coverage, and really key in on what the Eagles are trying to do. And I think those are two guys that could do it, so I would have to say them.
I like that call. You got to keep those running backs off balance, and that linebacker core that the Vikings have certainly able to do it. So we'll see how things play out. Should be a great game regardless. But, Austin, thank you so much for joining the show here today. Always great to get some new perspectives and certainly plenty throughout Vikings Twitter and Vikings territory to check with. And we'll hopefully catch up with you again a little bit later on down the road.
Great. Thanks for having me, Seth. I appreciate it.
Austin Blyle of Vikings Territory joining the show here today. And we'll get a little bit of an Eagles perspective. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah.
And we are joined today by Cody Benjamin, who covers the Philadelphia Eagles for Bleeding Green Nation and also writes for CBS Sports, giving us a little bit of a Philadelphia Eagles perspective leading up to the big game. Cody, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I know we talked a little bit off air. I'm out in Minnesota now, so I kind of have a feel for the weather and the fan base out here, but definitely glad to be on talking Eagles and Vikings with you.
Well, certainly the biggest storyline in this game is the fact that you've got Case Keenum leading the Vikings at quarterback, and you've also got Nick Foles leading the Eagles. Now, not the number one quarterback for either team to begin the season, but you look at what they have both been able to do, and they certainly have led their teams to this point. So let's just start there. Just what have been some of the things that that the Eagles have had to do in order to tweak their offense to allow Nick Foles to continue to have success up to this point?
Yeah, it's been. I'm sure this is going to be a storyline that's kind of beaten into the ground up to and even during the game on Sunday. But you know, just from the Eagles' perspective, it's a pretty interesting transition going from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles. I mean. You know, I think they kind of, just before the Falcons game, the playoff game, they went back, and even Doug Peterson and Nick Foles both admitted that they went back to look at old game tape of when Nick Foles had his best performances, and that was when Chip Kelly was the coach, and that involved a lot of the run-pass option stuff and a lot of mostly just getting the ball out quickly, because we've seen in some of his worst performances, Nick Foles tends to backpedal a lot, get kind of caught up and in the pocket. And so a lot of his success hinges on getting that ball out quickly. And so, you know, in the Atlanta game in the postseason, I mean, the key has been you got to get the ground game going. And even if the ground game isn't going, I mean, you can't abandon it completely, because it really depends on just making things comfortable for him. And obviously, you know, a guy like Carson Wentz, he's going to extend plays in a way that not only Nick Foles, but most quarterbacks in the NFL can't do. And so that's just a big mobility factor. And, I mean, even Carson Wentz's presence helped the running game. So I think, again, it's just simplified. That's the key here. And it simplifies the Eagles' offense. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing if it works. But against a defense like Minnesota, it's certainly going to be a challenge.
Both teams had some exciting games that went down to the wire. The Eagles beating the Falcons 15-10 in the divisional round, turning them away with a goal line stand. Matt Ryan trying to get it to Julio Jones on the final play, and pass goes through his hands, and the Eagles end up with the win. And of course, the Minneapolis miracle for the Vikings. Is it your feeling that? It might not come down to the final play, but that we'll see another close game on Sunday between these two teams?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think coming into the Eagles and Falcons game, and even the Saints and Vikings, I mean, if you were going to call those games toss-ups, I mean, I think this one, this Sunday, is just as much of a toss-up. And I think it's, you know, the added, just the factor of it being in Philadelphia, I think that changes things at least a little bit. I think, yeah, it just is setting up to be one of those, you know, 20-17, maybe even, you know, 16-14 kind of games. And I think, you know, I'm really not sure whose favor that leans in, because obviously right now, you know, Case Keenum, you talked about the Keenum and Foles thing. I think Keenum has had obviously a bigger hand in the Vikings' success just because of Nick Foles' late arrival in the starting lineup. But both of these teams are built on defense, and you know, the Eagles a little bit more running the ball, but you know, that it's playoff football. That's how they're built. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a close game, a toss up. And you know, going into those games like the Vikings and Saints and the Eagles and Falcons, I think both sides entering those games, I think you could have made the argument that the margin for error was going to be slim, and yet that wasn't necessarily the case. I mean, in the Atlanta game, the Eagles, you know, they turned the ball over twice. They had a bunch of special teams miscues. I mean, you know, Minnesota, they were about to lose that game. And so I think, you know, it's really in this game, this Sunday, is going to come down to which team makes the fewest mistakes.
The Eagles are underdogs at home, which is something that they were against the Falcons as well. But it seems like they really have thrived on this mentality of, well, nobody believes in us, and we're underdogs at our own stadium. Is that something that they have truly embraced, despite what the national media has done by labeling them underdogs?
Yeah, I mean, you saw, I'm sure everyone has seen by now that, you know, some of the players went as far as, you know, buying these masks of dogs. And now, You know, I'm genuinely expecting, I mean, thousands of people to show up, and whether they're going to wear these masks in the stands the whole game or not. I mean, they sold out on Amazon, they restocked these masks, and they sold out again. So, I mean, the city has kind of embraced it. And I pulled up a bunch of these, and again, these numbers don't really mean anything as far as, you know, they still have to come out and execute. But the numbers for the Eagles when they are underdogs, you know, when they are underdogs at home in the playoffs, they're 4-0. The Vikings in road playoff games since they became a dome team, I believe that they have a record of 3-13. And the last 8 conference championship games between the AFC and NFC, the home teams are 8-0. And so, I mean, I think there is something to be said for this home field advantage. I mean, the Eagles are still going to have to find a way to move the ball against that Vikings defense, and that's not going to be easy. But I really think this, you know, if ever there was a time to say home field advantage could play a factor, I think, you know, whether the weather's a little colder or whether there's just a, you know, that amplified atmosphere there, I mean, something, I think that's a factor and it has to be considered here. And, yeah, I think the Eagles are definitely happy to have that in their favor.
Looking at what the Eagles have been doing offensively, they've got that big running back combo of Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. What makes that group so difficult for opposing defenses to game plan?
Well, I think it's, you know, if it's working, I think Jay Ajayi has really, he's still been in a limited role. I mean, Doug Peterson likes to rotate these backs. But I think with him, when he's not, you know, he's had a little bit of a problem with holding on to the football, but when he's holding on to the ball, he's definitely the most explosive. I mean, pretty much every game since Jay Ajayi's had or come over from the Dolphins, I mean, he's had a big run, and he had a lot of them, or a few of them, against Atlanta. With LeGarrette Blount, I think it's a lot easier, especially for a defense like the Vikings, to, I guess, crowd him up front. He hasn't had the greatest yards per carry really since Jay Ajayi came over. But the dangerous thing is that, I guess, you know, like we said, the defense, the run game, these teams are built for the playoffs. And if you can pound the rock 30 times between, you know, Ajayi and Blount, and Corey Clement, the number 3 back, used a lot, like Darren Sproles was once used, I mean, that could wear a defense down, especially in a game where time of possession plays a big role.
The Vikings have developed a pretty good 1-2 combo at receiver. The Eagles no slouch in that department either. But you look at Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and especially after what Diggs was able to do to the Saints, how well do the Eagles match up defensively on those two?
Well, I think that if you're looking for a mismatch in this game, I think that might be the biggest one. I mean, between Thielen and Diggs, I mean, you've got a guy, or two guys really, who can go over the middle and make contested catches, but also, you know, obviously with Diggs, to be able to stretch the field, especially, you know, the way we saw the Vikings' last playoff game. And but, you know, the Eagles don't have bad cornerbacks. You know, I'd argue that they probably have a better slot cornerback than the Vikings. But Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby on the outside, I mean, they can be had. They obviously were able to do just enough, barely, against Julio Jones. But I think, you know, run defense-wise, the Eagles shouldn't have too much of a problem against Minnesota. I think their depth matches up well with the Vikings' offensive line. But if Case Keenum can get the ball out quickly, I think the Vikings are going to be in a good position. I mean, their receivers are just they're just better than the Eagles' cornerbacks. And so, really, this game, like a lot of games, is probably going to come down to the trenches. How much pressure can the Eagles get on Case Keenum? How much time does Case Keenum have to throw the ball? I think that's going to be a big a determining factor in how much Thielen and Diggs can do.
Another interesting matchup, you mentioned the battle in the trenches, and that is 100% right. It's going to be one of those kind of games. The Eagles' offensive line has gone through some changes throughout the season. How do you see them stacking up against a Vikings defensive line that includes the names like Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, Linval Joseph?
Yeah, it's I guess it really can't be overstated. I mean, how important this, you know, for both sides, this defensive line versus offensive line battle really is. And I think the Vikings, you know, Doug Peterson himself, he said, you know, Everson Griffin is a game wrecker. He called him that. And Linval Joseph, you know, nobody is a slouch there. And so Halapulivahti Vaitai is the obvious weak link at left tackle. But even he looked, you know, okay against Atlanta, held up enough. That right side of the line is pretty strong for the Eagles. I mean, they've got Pro Bowlers between Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson. So the whole right side is pretty much as good as you could ask for. It's really, you know, I think that the Vikings defensive line obviously has a strength over that left side of the Eagles line. But if you're going to flip it and look at the Eagles defensive line against the Vikings O-line, I think that the depth aligns in the Eagles' favor there. But again, I think offensively, you know, talked about Nick Foles, the offensive game plan has been simplicity. I mean, you got to get the ball out quickly. You got to have time to get to or find running lanes. And against that Vikings front, I'm not sure whether that's going to be possible for, you know, how do you put together those 13, 14 play drives? It's going to have to be, can Nick Foles take a shot downfield and can somebody beat Xavier Rhodes or Harrison Smith? And so this really is, I mean, the more we talk about it here, I think the more clear it is that this is going to be a pretty bottled up matchup, or at least on paper it looks like it will be.
Talking to Cody Benjamin, who writes for CBS Sports, also for Bleeding Green Nation. And another link between these two teams is the Sam Bradford trade. Now, Bradford finally able to get back on the active roster after missing most of the season. And it's something that really is interesting to look at. Bradford has played very well when he's been healthy for the Vikings, but that trade ended up allowing the Eagles to do a couple of different things in the first round. And it seems like one that truly will go down as a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, and I guess in an unconventional way. I mean, because I don't necessarily think that the Vikings, you know, looking back on it now, on trading that many or that much ammunition for Sam Bradford, I mean, they probably expected that with that kind of compensation that right now, going into the NFC Championship game, that Sam Bradford will be starting. And so you're right. I think it worked out, not in the way that many of us expected. And it just almost feels like, you know, I saw somebody say this, it just seems like it's inevitable that Sam Bradford is somehow going to take a snap or two against the Eagles on Sunday. And you know, obviously no one's hoping for any kind of injuries or anything, but just the way this thing has played out, just the connections, the endless connections between Keenum and Foles and the Eagles, you know, I just imagine if Sam Bradford were called upon at some point in this game in Philadelphia where he had to play before. But, yeah, it's really interesting, and I think that's not the only connection between this team. I mean, you look at the defense, the way this team's built. You look at the resiliency. I mean, the Vikings having to overcome Bradford's loss, Dalvin Cook's loss. I mean, you look at the Eagles. You've got a countless number of guys between Wentz, Darren Sproles, Jason Peters. And then you look at the fan bases. I mean, I think if there's any two fan bases that can really relate to each other in terms of enduring heartbreak, I mean, I think it would be the Eagles and Vikings. And so I think it's, you know, I guess no one's really going to be, you know, one side isn't going to be happy no matter what happens on Sunday. But really, these two teams couldn't be more similar, I think, in this scenario.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just everywhere you look up and down the rosters, the fan bases as well, which is another great comparison, there's a lot of similarities between these two teams. One fascinating thing, Cody, about these the conference championship games, you look at what's going on over in the AFC as well with New England and Jacksonville, and you look at these final four teams and how dominant the defenses have played. New England, after their rough start, they have been very good over the last handful of weeks of the season and into the playoffs, and it just shows that you look at all these quarterbacks throughout the NFL, that defenses are still the thing that that get teams deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think every cycle that, you know, where we go through the postseason again, I feel like we're reminded of something. I mean, I feel like a few years ago it was, you know, the running back position gets a lot of heat. And I think you know, we probably had one year where we realized, wow, like every team in the playoffs right now that's left has, you know, an all-pro, a workhorse running back. And, you know, you're reminded another year, you know, the Broncos won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning when he had pretty much half an arm left. And so that was a reminder that the defense was big. And, yeah, I think it's important, and it's pretty much the ultimate reminder is that this is a team game. And, yes, a quarterback is pretty essential to having that. You know, the Eagles wouldn't have made it this far if they didn't have Carson Wentz for most of the year. The Vikings wouldn't have been this far if Case Keenum didn't, you know, become a good quarterback. But at the end of the day, yeah, it is a team game, and defense is a big part of that team. And you mentioned the Jaguars, what's happening in the AFC. I think probably, you know, if you're the Eagles or the Vikings and you can escape the NFC Championship and get to the Super Bowl, I think you should be pretty confident, you know, especially if Jacksonville advances, because if you can beat the Eagles defense or you can beat the Vikings defense, I mean, who's to say you can't pull one out against the Jags defense? I mean, going up against Tom Brady is probably another story, but I think, there's reason for hope for everyone right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Cody, before we wrap up here, where can the listeners, we've mentioned that you work for CBS Sports and also write for Bleeding Green Nation, but if fans are curious to follow a little bit more of your work leading up to the game on Sunday and potentially beyond that for the Super Bowl, where can they find it?
Sure. On Twitter, it's just at Cody, C-O-D-Y, J as in James, and then Benjamin. And then on CBS Sports, if you just go to cbssports.com, you'll find all the stuff on the NFL page. I mean, it's pretty much going to be, it's Eagles and Vikings heavy for the next couple of days. And then on Bleeding Green Nation, you'll find my columns there every Thursday. And so CBS Sports is daily stuff and Bleeding Green Nation is weekly. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter and shoot me all your angry reactions after Sunday's game.
Cody, thank you so much for joining us here today. Looking forward to what should be a great game between these two teams. And we'll see how things play out. We'll maybe have you on a little bit later on to preview the Super Bowl or to recap this game.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for having me on. You enjoy the game as well.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Let's take a look at what's on deck here for tonight. We'll start off in the NBA. Philadelphia at Boston at 6 o'clock tonight. Orlando is at Cleveland at 6 o'clock. Minnesota Timberwolves at Houston. That's an 8:30 tip-off tonight on TNT. And Indiana is at Portland. That's at 9 o'clock here this evening. Taking a look at Big Ten men's basketball. Minnesota Gophers at Maryland. That's at 7:30 tonight on FS1, and then number 23, Michigan. They're taking on Nebraska. That's at 8 o'clock here this evening. And we flip over to the NHL, taking a look at the schedule throughout the National Hockey League. Washington at New Jersey at 7 Eastern. Boston at the New York Islanders at 7 Eastern. Toronto's at Philadelphia at 7 Eastern. Dallas at Columbus at 7 Eastern. Buffalo at the New York Rangers at 7:30 Eastern. St. Louis at Ottawa at 7:30 Eastern. Vegas at Tampa Bay at 7:30 Eastern, Arizona at Nashville at 8 Eastern, San Jose is at Colorado at 9 Eastern, and Pittsburgh at Los Angeles, that is at 10 Eastern here tonight. That is a look at what's on deck for this evening. We'll turn our attention now to wrapping it up for today here on The Scoop. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. A big thank you to Austin Belisle and to Cody Benjamin for joining the show today, giving us continued coverage leading up to the NFC Championship game. We'll continue it with Luke Inman of zone coverage tomorrow. We'll also have Dan Slabaugh on talking Timberwolves basketball. So a busy finish to a busy week coming up tomorrow here on The Scoop. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll talk to you then tomorrow at 3:05.